I think there's going to be a battle in Washington, D.C. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Well, let's pray and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Stand up with me if you can. Father, we love you this morning. We praise you. We magnify you. There is none like you in all the heavens and all the earth. And Father, as we lift the praises of an awesome, mighty God, we invite you, Lord, to be enthroned in the praises of your people this morning. Let your presence, Lord, destroy yokes and lift burdens. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
I know a place where we can go to lay the troubles down, eating your soul. I know a place where mercy flows. Take the stains, make you whiter than snow. Like a tide, it is rising up.
Let's go down.
breeze through. But since when has impossible ever stopped you? Friday's disappointment is Sunday's empty tomb. Since when has impossible ever stopped you? This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. Yeah.
There's a grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. And when I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. Beneath the water, I'm no longer a slave to my sin anymore. And should I fall in the space between what remains of me, heaven's reckoning? Either way, I'm bound to the things of this world, and I'm
deserving. You see the best in me beneath the dust, 'cause that's how you love, yeah, that's how you love. You rush through my veins, I'm wrecked and I'm changed, and my soul
Father, we love you this morning. We praise you. We magnify you. We glorify you. There is none like you. And Father, we just give you glory, honor, and praise this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Now, I want everybody to be seated, except for Terry and Wilma and Jackie and Janie. And now, you don't have to come up here, but I want you to stand. You're going to Washington, and we want to pray a hedge of protection around you. Amen. Church, just stretch your hands towards them. Father, we love you and praise you. We magnify your holy name. Father, I thank you for these four, our family. They're part of our family here at Church of the King. Father, I pray you anoint them, Lord God, to say and do the right thing, to allow your light to shine in a dark place called Washington, D.C. Father, I pray that you dispatch your angels, Lord God, to protect them and watch over them and keep them safe, Lord God. Provide everything that they need this weekend. And Father, I just can't wait to hear the praise report. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Anybody need an offering envelope? Bernie's got them. Get them while they're hot. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Debbie Workman told me she didn't bring any goodies today because she figured we was all on diets, making them New Year's resolutions. I thought in my mind, what's that got to do with anything? Being on a diet. Hallelujah. We look like we should be. Yeah, Janie.
I just like my New Year's resolution is I want the Lord to pull me closer.
Amen. Amen. More God.
I don't want him to come back and see me lukewarm.
Amen. Amen. Hey, that's a good word for everybody. Jane, in case you're watching on TV like Uncle George is right now, and Joyce and Yvonne, they're probably watching on TV, and my Aunt Mary, what Janie said was she wants to grow closer to God. She wants to be on fire for God. She don't want to come back and him find her lukewarm. The Bible says that because you're lukewarm, he'll spew you out of his mouth. Amen. That's a good resolution for everybody. Amen. Now, everybody got an offering envelope. Everybody good. Amen. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for seed we can sow in your kingdom. We thank you, Father, we place that seed in the hand of a mighty, awesome God, that you will multiply it and you'll use it to expand your kingdom and you'll cause a harvest back to the sower. For that, we give you glory, praise, and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Need to get them out, don't we? Can't put anything in there if you don't get them out. They're not empty. Don't be talking that trash. Huh? No, they're right here. They're right here in front of me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God has been so good to you, you ought to praise him. Amen.
Can I say something?
Sure.
You know, if we were reading the scriptures this morning and it said about the goat nations and the sheep nations. It came to me. I used to work with a doctor that's from India.
Yeah.
And they only eat goats. They don't eat.
They worship their cows. Well, they do eat goat, that's for sure. Well, that's a thought. Well, that's not a bad thought. You can see the correlation there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Because the goat nations, the way you in that scripture we read, the way you determine if you're a sheep nation or a goat nation was based on how you treated Jesus' brethren. And Jesus' brethren were Jews. You guys got to keep your sermon down, okay? You're throwing me off.
Sorry.
So, see, I even forgot what I was going to say. So, most of those nations you're talking about don't, Aunt Diane, don't treat Israel well. So they would fall in that goat nation category. Father, we love. Yeah. Yeah. Father, we love you this morning. We praise you. We magnify you. There is none like you. Anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. My heart's a little bit heavy this morning. I hate to throw out books. And I got books in my house that, you know, if you've seen those books, you'd say, my Lord, why has the pastor got that book? Well, it ain't because he's reading it. It's because he's looking stuff up, okay? You know? But I actually throwed a book out this week. So, took me a while to find it, but I throwed it out. And I imagine y'all got it in your house. I imagine you got The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren in your house. Some of you might have. Yeah, that was a big deal in the church. So I throw mine out, and I'll tell you why here in a minute. I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll read in verse 1. You know, my job as pastor is to pray for you, to teach you, and to warn you if need be. Amen? That's what the shepherd did. He looked after the flock, tried to protect the flock best he could. Verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, I don't think there's anybody in here that don't think you're living in latter times. But Paul wrote this in the first century. He believed he was living in the latter days too. Latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. I want to go back to verse 1. Paul warns Timothy, this young minister, that in those last days, Timothy, many are going to depart from the faith. They're going to be deceived by spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. I want to talk to you about some of that, how that scripture is being fulfilled right now, not only around the world, but in America. In his book, Finding Our Way, Brian McLaren, I don't know if you've ever heard of Brian McLaren, don't read his books. In his book, Finding Our Way, Brian McLaren, a well-known universalist, everybody know what a universalist is? All paths lead to God, to the one God. Allah, Buddha, Krishna, they all lead to the same God. How many of you know that's a lie, right? That would come under the heading of doctrines of demons. Amen. A well-known universalist said, during his lifetime, Abraham, like Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad, had an encounter with God. I want to tell you something. Abraham and Jesus met with God on a regular basis. And so did Moses. But Muhammad did not. Amen. This same guy, he's a universalist, the same guy, Brian McLaren, he also celebrated Ramadan. We as Christians humbly seek to join Muslims in this observance of Ramadan as a God-honoring expression of peace, fellowship, and neighborliness. Can I tell you something? Keeping Ramadan is not bringing God any glory. It's not honoring God. I heard someone say one time, they were of the Catholic faith, and they were taking communion with me. Okay? It was a Passover. And I heard the younger of the two men say, you know, will this be all right? And the older of the two men said, yes, it's done in the name of God, so it'll be all right. And it took me a long, you know, I thought, well, that's good. I kind of like that, you know. But as the more I thought about that and the more I became educated, and I mean that in a good way, I realized that what he was saying was the same thing that McLaren has said, that by keeping Ramadan, I am honoring an expression to God. See, by him taking communion with us, even though he was of the Catholic faith, and can't really take that communion from us Protestants, it would still honor God. His thinking was universalism. That all paths lead to God. That I can take part in anything that is supposed to be to a God. Okay? I can take part in any kind of celebration because all paths lead to God. I can go down and hang with the Buddhists and the Christians and the Hindus because after all, they're all worshiping the same God. That is a doctrine of demons. And it has infiltrated in the Christian church in the last 10 to 15 years. All right? Let me tell you who Muhammad encountered. He did not encounter God. Muhammad's encounter with God, I got an exclamation point there. He believed he was possessed by a demon. He would stand on high cliffs contemplating suicide. What's the devil out to do? Steal, kill, and destroy, right? And roll on the ground, frothing at the mouth. Many Islamic scholars say he may have been possessed by a demon. His wife convinced him he was hearing from Gabriel, the archangel Gabriel. The Quran says Jesus is not the Son of God, nor is he God, nor did he die for our sins. Why on earth would I want to keep Ramadan? They don't believe that Jesus died for our sins, that he is the Son of God, or that he was God in the flesh. Amen? Now, his wife said, "You've heard from Gabriel." Really? You've heard from Gabriel. Is that true? Okay. If you heard from Gabriel, we have two passages of Scripture in the Bible that that the message is equated to Gabriel. In other words, Gabriel said it. One is found in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, if you got your Bibles, you can find old Daniel, page 1135, if you got a Bible like mine. If you don't, you just have to find it. I can't help you. 1135. And it's okay if you don't have a Bible like mine. All I'm saying is I can't help you find a page. And I'm struggling now because some of my little tabs have come off. I'm going to have to go back to the very first thing I learned in Bible school. Bernie, did you go to the Bible school at New Life? You didn't? Bernie did. One of the very first things we learned is we memorized the biblical text, or the books of the Bible. You know, but that was a long time ago. So sometimes, I got confused on Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians. And so my wife, she has a system for everything. She says, "Well, just remember GEP. Just remember the initials, GEP. I've never forgot that. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. I got them three down. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, pretty good on them too. All right, so we're going to see what Gabriel said. Two things that Gabriel said here in Daniel chapter 9, verse 21, we'll read verse 22. "Now while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplications before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening sacrifice." And of course, Gabriel is going to give him the message from God. And pick it up in verse 24. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know for and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah, watch this, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. How many know that's a reference to Jesus dying? Amen. And he didn't die for himself, did he? No. No, Gabriel said, and he doesn't die for himself. Gabriel's saying he's going to be cut off, he's going to die, but not for himself. The Quran says Jesus didn't die, period, and he certainly didn't die for someone else's sins. Now, let's go over to Luke's gospel. We will see the other message that we have recorded in the biblical text for us. Luke chapter 1. We read part of it. We read part of Luke, but not the words of Gabriel. We'll pick it up in verse 26. Now watch this. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary." You can go there now and there's a big nice church built over this little cave with a metal star, and that is believed to be, that is called the Church of the Annunciation, or it's believed that's where Mary was when Gabriel spoke to her about Jesus. "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Yeshua, Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest." Now Gabriel says this son of Mary's is going to be called the Son of the Highest, or the Son of the Most High. Can we say the Son of God? "And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Glory to God. So Gabriel said nothing about Jesus not being the Son of God. Okay? So I don't believe Muhammad heard from Gabriel. Do you? Amen. I don't think so. Now, let's go to 1 John. This is important. 1 John. Why am I telling you this? Because there is a move today. It's about 10 to 15 years old. It's called the emerging or the emergent church. Have you ever heard that term? Okay. You need to know it. Because the emergent church, there are some big names, some mega churches that are a part of this emergent church. You've heard of Rick Warren, Saddleback Church. You probably heard of Bill Hybels at Willow Creek Church, big church. This has infiltrated into a lot of big churches. That doesn't mean that all big churches are part of this re-emerging or emergent church. Okay, I'm not saying that, okay, because that sounds like sour grapes from a guy that pastors 20 people, okay? So I'm not saying that all big churches are bad. I'm just saying that they have been targeted by the leaders of this emergent movement. And I want to show you what they stand for here in a minute. Now, this is important. The Quran says Jesus is not the Son of God. It says that he did not die for sins, okay? It also says that God has no partner. There is no such thing as a Trinity. There's only Allah, okay? All right, and he's the all-merciful one. So now let's read what John says here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now, many antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." Talking about the Holy Spirit. "You know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Messiah? He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also." So anyone who acknowledges that God has no Son is part of that Antichrist movement or that Antichrist spirit. Amen. Somebody say, amen or oh me. Now, it's kind of... It's just like the devil. He can't come up with anything new. He has to pervert what God has already established. And from the beginning, God established, right there in the Garden of Eden, God said, I'm going to raise up the seed of a woman, and he's going to crush your head. Huh? the seed of a woman. And it would be, that seed would be the Son of God, Father and Son. We have a large majority, not majority, we have a large portion of the world who are stuck in a religion today that worships a mother and son. Amen. Where did that mother-son religion start? It started with Nimrod. Remember old Nimrod, the great-great-great-grandson of Noah? Nimrod died in a hunting accident, so they said. But Nimrod, according to Jewish sources, said Nimrod was not a hunter hunting lions, tigers, and bears, oh my, but he was a hunter of men's souls. He was the first guy who wanted to establish a one-world order. And the legend of Nimrod is that he died in one of these hunting accidents. Probably somebody killed him, my guess. But he had a wife named Semiramis. Now here's a good one. This is rich. She claimed that after Nimrod died, he became the sun. So that's where you get the first sun god worship, out of Noah's great-great-grandson. Okay? But she goes further. Semiramis says, and guess what? I'm pregnant. And guess how I got pregnant? By the sun's rays. Oh, really? I ain't buying that one. See, there was one immaculate conception. Amen? And her name wasn't Semiramis, it was Mary. You see how the devil perverts? But anyway, Semiramis does have a child, a son named Tammuz. You can find him in the Bible. You can find Semiramis in the Bible. In Jeremiah. She's called the Queen of Heaven. Jeremiah said they're baking raisin cakes and they're going to offer them up to the sun god. They're going to offer them up to Semiramis and to her son Tammuz. And Jeremiah says, hey, don't be doing that. Don't be doing that. I'll eat them raisin cakes, but don't you be doing that. And they said, get on out of here, old man. One time, I knew somebody that was graduating, and man, I hate to pound the Catholics this morning, but I seen a program from, Debbie went to the graduation of someone who graduated from a Catholic high school, and she brought the program back to me, and there was a picture of Mary, the statue of Mary, and you know how they used the sunburst around them? That's all pagan, man, that's sun worship, okay? So here was this statue of Mary with a big sunburst around her head, and it was the program for the graduation. And it said, the Queen of Heaven. I said, dear Lord, y'all done took the bait, hook, line, and sinker. And see, I don't want you all to not know what's going on in this world right now. You with me? Still with me? So there's a counterfeit. All right, and I told you this Wednesday, the idea that Jesus did not die in the flesh is what is called a Gnostic belief. Gnosticism has been around since the second century, okay? I think it's kind of, well, I'm going to give you some things here in a minute. Make sure I don't forget. But Gnosticism says that all flesh is bad. All spirit is good. You know, I'm trying to think of that guy's name. One guy, he thought all flesh was so bad, he castrated himself. One of the early church fathers. They would set up in trees or up on a pillar all day long to avoid being part of society. That's where the term pillar saint came from. Because they believe all flesh is bad. Wait a minute. How could all flesh be bad if God created us? And after God created everything, he stepped back and he said, man, that's pretty good. Huh? And then for old Adam, he said, hey, I'm go to sleep. And when you wake up, are you going to be happy? Huh? And he made Adam a wife. And he ordained sexual intercourse between a husband and a wife under the covenant of marriage. And he called it good. How could all flesh be bad? So Gnostics believe that Jesus never died physically. See, that's a problem, Houston. That's a problem because now we have no atonement for sin. We have no blood sacrifice, right? The wages of sin is death. The only thing that can cleanse you from your sin is the blood of Jesus. So we have a problem if he didn't really die. So let me go on here. I want to read you some things out of the Gnostic Gospels, and then we're going to compare them to the Quran so that we can see how they got intertwined over the years. Now, Gnosticism begins about the 2nd century. Well, no, it'd be the 1st century because John said, we got them right now. Okay, so it would be in the 1st century. Gnostic beliefs were prevalent. And it kind of grew. Matter of fact, by the 2nd century, there was a guy named Marcion. Marcion was a wealthy shipbuilder. Had lots of cash. But he bought into this Gnostic gospel that Jesus didn't really die in the flesh. It was all spiritual. He gave lots of money to the early church. But then he started peddling that doctrine. And you know what the church did? They kicked him out and gave the money back. So you know he was bad if they gave the money back. When have you ever heard a church doing that? They give him his money back. All right, let's look at this. And having made soft clay, this comes out of the Gospel of Thomas. It's a Gnostic gospel. And having made soft clay, he fashioned there of 12 sparrows. But Jesus clapped his hands together and cried out to the sparrows and said to them, go. And the sparrows took their flight and went away chirping. That's in the Gospel of Thomas. Okay. Here's what the Quran says. The Quran says, and when you designed from clay what was like the form of a bird with my permission, Allah speaking here, okay, with my permission, then you breathed into it and it became a bird with my permission. So now, in the Gnostic gospel, we got Jesus. They say he's making sparrows and turning them loose. And then in the Quran, we've got Jesus forming a sparrow out of clay and breathing on it and it flying. So you see now, Gnosticism was alive in the 1st century, but the Quran doesn't come along till much later, 600-700 years later. But you can see, you can look in the Quran and see how they adopted some Jewish beliefs, some Christian beliefs, and some Gnostic beliefs. Took a little piece of the pie from everybody, okay? So this is a point I want to make. Then another Gnostic book, the second treatise of the great Seth, it says, and I did not die in reality, this is Jesus talking, and I did not die in reality, but in appearance. For my death, which they think happened to them in error and blindness. It was another who drank the gall and vinegar. It was not I. It was another upon whom they placed a crown of thorns, and I was laughing. This text is referred to as the laughing Jesus. He supposedly climbed a tree and laughed when they took Judas away instead of himself. This is classic Gnosticism. Jesus did not die in the flesh as a sacrifice for sin. Really? All right, now that's the Gnostic belief. Now let's see what the Quran says. The Quran says, and for their saying, we did slay the Messiah Jesus, the son of Mary, the messenger of Allah, whereas they slew him not. They just said they did. Nor did they bring about his death upon the cross, but he was made to appear to them like one crucified. Wow. So you can see that this Gnosticism comes out in the 1st century and reaches all the way about 7 centuries later and infiltrates the Quran. Now here's why I'm doing this. Because this reemergent church is adopting universalism. They're having Chrislam services. Bring your Quran to our Christian church. We can all get along. Okay, let me keep going. Gnostic ideas or doctrines of the Antichrist, the idea of Jesus not being the Son of God and not dying for our sins, years later would find its way into the Quran. Since at least 2007, New Age mystic Muslims, liberal Muslims, and the emergent church have been coming together under the spirit of Antichrist. You've seen the bumper sticker, coexist. How can I coexist with someone who doesn't believe Jesus was the Son of God, who doesn't believe that Jesus died for my sins and yours? How can I coexist with you and still be a Christian? That's a good point. Here's another universalist, Tony Campolo. In his book, Speaking My Mind, written in 2004, page 149, he said, a theology of mysticism provides some hope for common ground between Christianity and Islam. Mysticism, you know, emptying my mind of myself and allowing a demonic spirit to fill me. Mysticism. He says, you know, if we all just hang out and we can find some common ground. Yeah, the common ground are demons and devils. That's your common ground. He also said in an interview, well, watch this, listen to this. These are people who say they're Christians look up to. That's scary to me. That's that wide path, yeah. Well, while we're talking about the wide path, what's that guy's name? Bell up in Michigan. What is his that first name? Anyway, what is it? Rob. No, it's not Art Bell. I want to say Rob Bell. No, that's not it. Anyway, he says, he's talking about the pearly gates of heaven in Revelation. And he says, it says that liars and thieves and adulterers, they can't get into the New Jerusalem. He says, but the Bible says it's got a gate that never shuts. He said it's kind of like the scriptures are like, wink, wink, you can still get in. He believes that. What about being born again, living a righteous life before God? God said, I am holy, therefore you be holy. Amen? Let me keep going. Tony Campola said in an interview, even if people don't convert, they are God's people. If Muslims are already God's people, then why in the world should we try to convert them? Hello? The only way to the Father is through His Son. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Woo. Rick Warren prayed in the name of Yeshua and Isa at Obama's inauguration. He also spoke at the ISNA network. That is the Islamic Society of North America. He spoke there. This is supposed to be a Christian minister. He spoke on success. He spoke at an organization that has been declared by the DOJ, the Department of Justice in America, as a terrorist organization. Isa is the Muslim name for Jesus. They believe that Jesus was alive. He never died. God's hid him somewhere. This is your extreme Muslims, that he has been hid. And when the Mahdi, the Messiah, when things get so bloody that Allah sends the Mahdi back, then he'll loose the prophet Jesus and he'll go down and he'll tear down all Christian crosses and make them all eat pork and all kinds of stuff, you know. Crazy. Let me keep going here. I want to get to my point. So let me tell you what success in the Quran is. Success in the Quran for Muslims is domination of world religions. They would be the dominant religion. When Muslims say they want peace, it's not the same peace that we speak about. Peace to a Muslim is the other religions, Jewish, Christian, whatever they are, Hindu, if they're in a Muslim country, they have to be submitted to Islam. You can't build your church steeple higher than the minaret, the prayer tower in a Muslim mosque. Okay, you have to pay a toll tax to Islam. You are in submission to Islam. All right, that's what success to Islam. And Rick Warren preaches about success to this group of terrorists. I'm having trouble with that. Now, all these emergent church leaders, they all signed the Loving God and Neighbor letter. I'm going to tell you what the Loving God and Neighbor letter was a reference to. It was a response. It was a Christian response to a letter that came from 138 Muslim clerics back in 07 called A Common Word Between Us. It was a document written by Muslim leaders promoting Christian and Muslim unity. Here's what it said. This is what the Muslim clerics wrote. Muslims and Christians make up well over half of the world's population. Without peace and justice between these two religious communities, there can be no meaningful peace in the world. The future of the world depends on peace between Muslims and Christians. I see an immediate problem. Muslims, who are mortal enemies with Jews, say that the key to peace in the world is peace between Islam and Christianity. They left out the Jews altogether because they know the history of Christianity, that even Christians have persecuted Jews. And for sure, Islam has persecuted Jews. So I just see a little problem there. But there's a whole lot of problems. Let me keep going because I got to make my point. The basis for this peace already exists. They're still writing. It is in part of the very foundation principles of both faiths, love of one God and love of our neighbor. These principles, they're still writing, these principles are found over and over again in the sacred text of Islam and Christianity. The unity of God, meaning Allah, meaning that Yahweh and Allah are the same. The unity of God, the necessity of love for Him, and the necessity of love of neighbor is thus the common ground between Islam and Christianity. Now, the answer to the emergent church wrote a letter back to them. And it started out this way. Before we shake your hand in responding to your letter, we ask forgiveness of the all-merciful one and the Muslim community around the world. They ask forgiveness from Allah. The all-merciful one is a term that is used over and over in the Quran for Allah. These guys are supposed to be leaders in the Christian church. The Quran in Surah chapter 4 says, Christ Jesus, son of Mary, was no more than an apostle of Allah. The Quran also says that they said we killed Christ Jesus, the son of Mary, the apostle of Allah, but they killed him not. Now, Karl Barth, thank God for Karl Barth. He was born in like 1886, one of the finest theologians the world's ever known. I believe he was from Sweden. He said this, in no way can theologians or missionaries seek a relationship between Christian revelation and other religions. In no way may they look for questions in the religions for which revelation supplies the answer. In no way may they seek points of contact. the slightest deviation from Christianity, the slightest concession to the religions, violates the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. What he's saying is, all the points that the Muslims made in love God and love your neighbor, what they mean by that, that violates the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? And it is the gospel of Jesus Christ that Paul said is the power of God unto salvation. I told you one time when we had to, last summer when we had to train our truck drivers and all our employees on sensitivity training. And the guy said, I don't want to just check a box. And I'm like, just check it. Just get done. He said, I want a heart change. And I was like, well, we're in trouble because only the gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to change a man or a woman's heart. Now, here's a question that I want to ask you. You want me to hang out with Muslims. You want me to agree to some tenets of faith that y'all lay down. You want me to agree with someone who only has a vague understanding of the kingdom of God? You want me to hang out and be a part of someone and listen to someone who has not had their spirit regenerated by the blood of Jesus? You want me to hang out and be a part of someone who has no Holy Spirit, no concept of the revelation of the kingdom of heaven? My Bible says that, you know, you don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God, but my Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whomever would believe upon him would be saved. I just can't do it. I just can't do it. The Apostle Paul, I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians. We'll be done here shortly. 1 Corinthians. I got people in the back freezing. I got people in the front fanning themselves. Oh, dear Lord. I'm actually pretty comfortable today. But in the summertime, that's when I get hot up here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. See, I must be born again, Jesus said, in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen. In order to be a part of the kingdom of heaven, I've got to repent of my sins. I've got to accept Jesus as Messiah and allow his blood to wash me and cleanse me. And you don't believe he's the Son of God, and you don't believe he died as a sacrifice for our sins. We have no grounds to fellowship. We don't. Look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 6, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age or this world, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. You want me to be in fellowship with someone who doesn't even believe in the indwelling of the Spirit of God? You want me to take advice from someone who doesn't believe Jesus is the Son of God? What are you thinking? You know, when somebody messes up at our company, we have a term for them. But I'm not allowed to share that from the pulpit. You'll have to catch me, you know, on another day by myself. But it's not very good. It just actually means they have something that has replaced their brains. Okay? They don't really have brains. They have something else up there, okay? I can't believe they're buying this. Now, let me show you something. We're going to Romans. But here's where they're making headway. You need to understand this. These are seeker-sensitive churches. I'm trying to find out. I was forced by someone higher up than me in this denomination to go to this conference, and it was held at my brother's church. They kind of twisted his arm to make him have it there. And as a young man, maybe 25, 26, and he's the lead instructor. And he says, "Do any of you do any special things in the springtime?" And I said, "Yes, we keep Passover." And he said, "Oh, don't do that. Nobody knows what that is." And I was like, I just sat there. And I'm pretty sure he could tell, because I don't have a poker face. I'm not one of them guys that's going to look happy if I'm not. I'm sorry. It's just not in me. It's not my mom either. It's not any of her siblings either. I don't think they have poker faces either. And we're probably going to tell you what's on our mind, and you're going to know exactly, you know, how we're feeling just by our countenance. I'm not one of them. So I'm sure he could see it. So when they broke for lunch, I'm trying to find a nice, easy path out. And he catches me. He says, he looks at my name tag. Butch Deer. It said Pastor Butch Deer. But he didn't say pastor. He just said Butch Deer. So, you know, I was trained. If he's your pastor, you better refer to him as pastor. I never, ever refer to another pastor as anything but pastor. I don't care if he's not my pastor. I want to give respect to that office. Okay? So, anyway, because that's a God-ordained office. All right? So, we would never call the president anything but the president, would we?
That's right.
All right. So, even some of these heathens in the news media will refer to the president as the president, Mr. President. So, anyway, my point is, he says, "I didn't mean to offend you." I said, "Son, you didn't offend me." I said, "I'm really okay with you being ignorant." I said, "But what I'm getting out of this conference is you are minimizing the Word of God. You've already talked about 20-minute sermons and given them a catchy name, you know, so that they fit into this seeker-friendly church." I said, I'm not into that. I said, I don't care if I preach to 20 people until Jesus comes back. I'm not going to do that. I can't, I won't. I revere the Word of God." And then I eased on down the road, boogity, boogity, boogity. And I asked my brother what he thought about it. And he said, "What do you think about it?" And I told him, he said, "I thought exactly what you thought about it, but I had to stay because I had to lock the doors. It was my building." But I'm just saying, listen, there's a group trying to make the gospel easy. Jesus said, narrow is that gate. He didn't say wide is that gate. He said that gate is narrow. Amen. And I'm afraid me hanging out with this emerging church bunch, they don't even believe in a heaven or hell. All right. They believe in heaven. They don't believe in hell. Now, let's read here in John. We'll close with this one. Romans. Romans chapter 1, right? I want to show you. An unregenerate or an unsaved man, a man who is not filled, not blood-bought and filled with the Holy Ghost, that man can build an elaborate system of worship. They can build a false religion. Yeah. Okay? It's really easy. We've seen it. Okay? Let's read what Paul says about them. Let's start here in verse 22 of Romans chapter 1. He says, professing to be wise, they became fools. Changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. My, my. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. See, this universal church, just takes you as you are. You come on in, you share your thoughts on what you think is God. You come on in. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you're gay, lesbian. Doesn't matter what you are. God accepts you. I got to tell you, God made Adam and Eve. He made man and woman. And if you don't know what you are, look in the daggone mirror. And that... in Pakistan... $10 million. All right, I got to go to one more verse, two more verses, and we'll close. I got to do this. Go with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. Acts chapter 14. Now, I'm telling you all this because, and I'll try to go into this a little bit Wednesday night. You guys are on the bus. We won't be here Wednesday, but I will be live. I will be Facebooking live Wednesday night, okay? I'll be Facebooking live Wednesday night. I'll try to get into it a little more there. The reason I'm telling you this stuff is because in order for there to be a one world order, there has to be a one world government. There has to be a one world economic system. And there has to be a one world religion. Rick Warren calls it a three-legged stool. And so the move is trying to bring all religions into one for a one world order. Okay? How many of you know that's anti-God? Amen. All right? Okay. Acts 14, verse 15. I was going to read you more. Let's go to verse 13. Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates. Excuse me, Paul's at Lystra, all right? And at Lystra, he's at a place where they're worshiping the pantheon of Greek and Roman gods. They worship many gods, okay? And then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God who made the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and all things that are in them." Paul said, you need to turn from these things. One more scripture. I got to read you this one. Acts 17. Paul is at Mars Hill. And he's again, he's dealing with the Romans and the Greeks at Mars Hill and their gods. And verse 22 says, then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day of which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, we will hear you again on this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Paul warned them, you keep worshiping these false gods, you will be judged by the one who's been resurrected from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And look what they said. Some mocked. But just because they mocked doesn't mean that Jesus is not going to come and judge the nations. Amen. My Bible says, now a lot of these re-emergent churches or these emerging churches, they think this book is outdated. I got news for them. This book's alive. It was alive and well in Paul's day, and it's alive and well to us today. Now, when I say alive and well in Paul's day, I'm talking about the Hebrew Bible. The New Testament wasn't there yet. Amen. Or the Jewish commentary. It was added later. But I believe that this is the true word of God. And what they're peddling is this is not absolute truth. Truth is whatever you feel is relevant. No absolute truth. It's an easy gospel. And you know what that easy gospel is going to do? It's going to drag a lot of people to hell. Amen. Amen. And we need to pray that God does not allow a one world order to rise up. Amen. In the past, you've heard me say it. In the past, God has always raised up a standard against anybody that wanted to dominate the world. And here we're facing it again. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you're not a prayer warrior by now, you need to be. And you need to be coming against that. Amen. I mean, when Gabriel was sent to Daniel the first time, he told Daniel, he said, hey, man, from the first day you asked God, I was sent with the answer. But he said, the prince of Persia withstood me. One of those controlling territorial demons or angels. He said, but your prince, Michael the archangel, came to his aid, and he was able to get away and bring the answer to God. And our prayers empower God's messenger angels. Amen. Glory to God. There is war in the heavenlies, and our prayers play a vital part. And there's a war going on right now to control the world. Amen? And we need to be on our knees. And don't think that, well, you know, Pastor Butch prays all the time. I don't need to pray. That's not true. I depend on you all to pray. For me, we all do our part. Amen? How many of you know this morning? How many of you convinced this morning that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen. That he is God incarnate in the flesh. And that he did die for your sins and mine. Woo! Glory to God. That right there ought to make you happy. Amen. So let's have communion. Bernie and Debbie, won't you do the honors here this morning? Somebody holler at Debbie and Eli, would you? I knew that was going to happen. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. God has been so good to you, you ought to praise him. Now, I want you all to have your light and have it shining down there, okay? But don't be going to jail.
If somebody slaps us, we have...
If somebody slaps you?
Yes.
Is he a brother in the Lord?
Yes.